Beautiful, ladies, gentlemen, thank you. Wasn't that nice? All right. We are almost finished with the spiritual growth through prayer series. Probably finish up next week because I'll have a kind of a second part to this one. But I'm going to have to go back and revisit prayer. I've had a good time through this, and I've seen some wonderful things happen in our church. We've witnessed miracles, and we've seen a lot of growth. But many times in the Bible, God promises to answer your prayers. And I wanted to give you one of the shortest examples, and I forgot to put it on my outline, but Laura put it up here. It was Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I might answer you. No, it says, call to me, and I will answer you. God answers prayers. Every single prayer. Garth Brooks has a big hit song that says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. It's just not true. Every prayer is answered. He may not answer them the way we like, but he answers our prayers every time. The Bible even goes so far as to say, as soon as we pray, he dispatches angels to our prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. No is an answer. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, when they would aggravate the tar out of me, and I still tell them that. When they want an answer, I say, okay, if you need an answer now, it's no. Oh, no, Daddy, we'll wait. We'll wait. See, because they know that no is an answer. Wait is an answer. Grow up is an answer. And one of my all-time most frequently used answers is in a little while. God answers that way sometimes. In a little while. But I want to tell you, as your pastor, that God never leaves a prayer unanswered. Just not every prayer that he says yes to. But all prayers are answered. And there's lots of reasons for that. Lots of examples in the Bible where God says no to great men and women of faith. He said no to Abraham, Moses, Jonah, Job, Elijah, Peter, Paul. God even said no to his son, Jesus Christ, before in prayer. And if he can say no to his own son, he'll say no to you and I. So I wanted to close out this series on how to deal with no. Because when God says no to our prayers, it can get kind of confusing. And you and I, we're going to have lots of no's from God in our lifetime. And when our request is denied, we're going to ask why. You know, and if God's a truly loving God, why can he say no? It can be confusing. It can be frustrating when we get a no. You know, what I mean by that is, why do some people get miracles and others don't? Why do some people get relief and others don't? Why do some people get well and others die? Why does God sometimes say yes and sometimes God says no? You know, sometimes people pray, two people are praying for the opposite things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? God has said no to Georgia fans more than he has Tennessee fans. I heard it not lately. I'm just saying, look it up. But he has said no. But to be honest with you, I don't think God cares who wins the football game. at all. But sometimes God says no because it would involve taking away someone's free will, their free choice. And guess what? God ain't going to do that. He loves us. He's given us free will. You see, God doesn't force anybody to do the right thing. He don't do it. And then there's sometimes that we pray for sick people and they die. If everybody you ever prayed for never died, then they would never die. And guys, we aren't meant to live on this planet forever. This ain't our home. Here there's sadness. There's evil. There's sickness. There's pain. There's racism. There's injustice. I want to, and I'm going to live forever, just not here. You and I, we're built to live forever, in heaven or hell. But you and I are built to live forever. And God never meant for you and I to live forever here on earth. So there's going to be a point that your prayer won't be answered the way you asked for. Everybody dies at some point. And we don't really need to be shocked by that. We're all terminal. Every last one of us. Every human being is going to die at some point. So sometimes God says no and it's unexplainable. Sometimes a no makes no sense. And that's when it's heartbreaking. That's when you don't get it. I have to regroup. I like that though, the sound of little feet going around. But you'll just have to bear with me while I get back with it. When that happens, when a prayer is not answered the way you want, it's heartbreaking. It's the greatest test of your faith when a prayer is not answered the way that you want. It's a great, great test of faith. And then you have to consider the question, will you trust God or not? Since it's a great test of faith, we need to deal with what if God says no. And that's what we're going to deal with today and next Sunday. We got to deal with it. If it's a great test of faith, when God says no. Now today I'm going to give you a few reasons, and there's a bunch of them. I'm only going to give you three about when God says no in your life. Then next week, we're going to talk about what you should do when God says no in your life. Now, before I give you these three reasons and cases when God says no, I want to give you a caution. And I put that on your outline here. I want you to read this with me. Use these to comfort who? Yourself. But never use them with someone in pain, because you don't know why God said no to them. So use them for yourself. Don't use them to comfort anyone else. These reasons may not apply to them. And even if it was, it'd be very presumptuous of you to assume that you know why they got to know. And I'm going to tell you something, it don't help them. It doesn't help anything. Write this down here. Explanation never comforts. Explanation never comforts. When my daughter died in 1995, knowing why would not have helped me. Knowing, you know, when something happens, you know, understanding why something happens just doesn't make it easier. It would have still hurt. But you know, but we always ask why. And it's okay to ask why. But there's just some things we're not going to understand this side of heaven. So never presume to know why God does something unless He tells you. You know what we really should do when someone is in grief? When somebody loses somebody? We should just show up and shut up. If you open up your Bible right in the middle, you'd come to a book called Job. And Job lost all his family. And he had three friends. When they first came, they sat beside him for 7 days and never said a word. Never said a word. It was the best thing that they could ever do. You see, here's the thing. The deeper the pain in somebody's life, the fewer the words you use. I want you to write that down because you're going to need it one day. The deeper the pain in someone's life, the fewer the words that you use. And what I mean by that, if you want to put it into perspective, if somebody's having a bad hair day, you can talk to them all you want to. It ain't going to be no big deal. But if they have lost someone, shut up. Just show up. Just show up and shut up. You see, you don't get into trouble till you open your mouth. Job's friends sat for 7 days without saying a thing. Well, guess what happened on the eighth day? They started talking. They done figured out, they told him why this was happening. All of this stuff. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Don't try to explain the unexplainable. And boy, if you read the rest of Job, God got on them boys. He got on them three guys. Guys, I want to tell you this. When you try to explain something that God hasn't explained, you're on thin ice. You're on thin ice. Don't you try to explain what He hasn't explained. And I see well-meaning believers do this a lot. They say things like, that was the judgment of God. I heard it a lot during Katrina. Everybody here old enough to remember Katrina? Katrina wiped out most of New Orleans. Wiped it out. And I heard it. I mean, I heard in a statement like that this week at my diner. Some California's done something, I don't know, I didn't pay any attention, because the statement that this guy made, who actually happened to be a preacher, said the San Andreas Fault is going to destroy California. Let me tell you about Katrina, though. This is why I think it's important that we know a practical, that I give you a practical example and a biblical example why things like Katrina and the San Andreas Fault are not the judgment of God. New Orleans. Katrina wiped it just about out. What would you say the most sinful part of New Orleans was? Who said Bourbon Street? You would be exactly right. Did you know what did not touch Bourbon Street? Katrina. The most sinful part of New Orleans. It did not touch Bourbon Street. So it was not the judgment of God. Because if it was, He missed it. God don't miss. Amen? And if God does judge America, and it will, it's not going to start by hurting unbelievers. Stay with me now. Don't walk out. I wanted to tell this guy, but it wasn't the place. If God judges America, it's not going to start by hurting unbelievers. It's going to start with the church. Well, you and me, the church. 1 Peter 4:17, if you want to write that down and go back to it, says the judgment begins with us, His own family. God's going to discipline His family, not the neighbor's kids. Us. It starts with the church and what we're not doing right. It starts with us. Now, I want to give you three. Now that I got off my soapbox. Three of possibly thousands of reasons that God says no. Let's get number one real quick. God says no. God says no when He has a bigger perspective. When He has a bigger perspective. You see, He can see what we can't see. God sees the whole picture, and we have a very limited perspective. God can see into the future. You and I can't. He sees the whole thing. Miss Sloman, I went to church for 3 years when I was a kid. And I'm pretty sure it was her that said this. God's vision is like looking at a parade. He sees the very beginning. He sees the middle. And then He sees the horses at the end pooping. All in one glance. He sees the whole parade. He's got a bigger perspective. He sees the whole picture. Hebrews 4:13 says, He knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from Him. Everyone, everywhere, everything, all-seeing. You see, you and I don't see it all. See, sometimes God says no because He sees what you and I don't see. He sees the unintended consequences of what we're asking for if we were to get a yes. Because when we get a yes, I'm going to tell you something, guys, that yes starts a chain reaction. And He can see the multi-generational effects that it will have. What would happen to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. It will affect them. And sometimes God says no to protect you and I, to guard us from something that we can't see. Proverbs 2:8 says, God guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. I could name you time after time how I made some dumb decisions and I watched God's hand guard and protect me from messing up. He guards and protects. Now I'm going to tell you, you might get in the fire if you're one of God's children. You may get in the fire, you may be in there a long time, but you won't get burnt. You may get in the lion's den, but you won't get bit. He guards and protects. You see, you and me, we're going to go through fiery trials. We're going to be in the fire, but you're going to come out. The Bible tells us that the ropes will be burned off. Y'all remember the three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If you ain't never heard of them, they got sent into a fiery fire. Just gonna wire them out, just going to burn them up. But they went in, they was in the fire, they came out. The only thing that was burned off of them was some ropes, some bondage. You see, the fiery trials actually set them free. It burned the ropes off. You see, you may be put in those fire in the fire to get the bonds, the ropes of bondage off of you, to set you free from some hurt, to set you free from some fear, from some person. You may be in a fire right now, hurting, and God's using it to get you free from guilt, to burn those ropes off. They need to be burned off because you've been bound up by them. And He wants to set you free. And a lot of times you wouldn't have been set free unless you went through the fire. So you and I sometimes got to go. And God says, no. Go through the fire so you can be set free. God says no sometimes when we ask to do things a certain way. Do y'all remember? Do y'all know the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to rent the Colosseum out and preach in the Colosseum. Paul went to Rome, but he went in chains. He went to a prison instead of the Colosseum. And he didn't get to preach to a bunch of people. But you know what he did while he's in prison? He didn't have nothing else to do, so he wrote letters. Do you know what those letters became? The New Testament. About half the New Testament. Don't you know that those letters were more impactful than a sellout crowd at the Colosseum? God had a bigger perspective. Number two, God says no when he has a better plan. God says no when he has a better plan. God intends to answer our prayer. Sometimes it's just not the way we want it answered. Sometimes his yeses are different from ours. Let me give you a great verse that James Collins taught me. God says this, "This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For my ways are higher than yours." Underline that word, ways. You know what I like about it? It's plural. It's not singular. Which means to me, when I read that, that God has options. That he's unlimited. And you know when we pray, we want the easiest way out. You know what I'm talking about. When we want out of debt, I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know I ain't the only one that thought about this. When we pray and ask God out of debt, "Lord, let me get out of debt. What I'll do is drop by and get a lottery ticket. Or I'll expect a check in the mailbox when I get home." Am I right? Because we want the easiest way out. So we want to win the lottery. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't want the easiest way. He wants the best way. He wants the best way. You know what the best way is? A way that'll make us grow. Grow our character. You see, I tell you almost every week, God's more interested in our character than our comfort. Because he wants us to grow our faith in this whole process. That he's more concerned about that we grow in our faith. And sometimes our faith takes I call it a delayed answer. Ain't nothing wrong with a delayed answer. Write this down. I thought it was wonderful. Instant doesn't grow your character. See, God ain't no genie. Instant doesn't grow your character. So sometimes God delays the answer to your prayer. And sometimes if you read some of the great people in the Bible, never heard their answer, their prayer answered while here on earth. Before they died, they didn't receive an answer. Now I'm going to tell you, just like I told the 9 o'clock, when you find that out, when some of the great people of the Bible didn't receive an answer before they died, that kind of blows the prosperity teaching that we receive on TV out of the water. It just doesn't make any sense. And I'll just let you, like I told the 9 o'clock service, I believe the prosperity teaching is kind of like a cross between a crocodile and an abalone. It's a crock-a-baloney. Amen? He's more interested in our character. Instant doesn't grow your character. Hebrews 11 says this, "These were commended for their faith, but yet none of them received what had been promised." None of them. God had planned what? Something better. Sometimes I've prayed and they stayed sick. Sometimes I prayed and folks died. But if you're still filling in your blanks, I want to tell you something. God has all of eternity to fulfill his promises. He's got all of eternity. You see, because God isn't limited by time on earth like we are. He's not limited that. Some of the promises are going to be fulfilled in heaven. Amen? They will be fulfilled. Amen. And when I look back, I'm glad God didn't answer some of my prayers the way that I wanted to. Just yesterday, we was down into that thing for Shannon, the fundraiser for Shannon. I looked over there and I looked at my wife and I was thankful. 29 years that I've been with my wife. Probably love her more now than I ever did. And I thought, I am so thankful. My prayers when I was a teenager. No telling how many girls I asked God for them to be my wife. I thought about my kids. I was thinking about this last night. You know what? I tried to manipulate things. I'd pray and I'd ask God for a certain a boy or a certain girl for Luke. And it never would work out. I hope he's not here today to hear this, but I've got the greatest son-in-law in the world. And I had nothing to do with the situation except pray. I didn't set them up. I didn't chase them down. I didn't make sure they stayed together. I trusted God, and, well, here comes Luke. I'll have to admit, I even thought, I got to help Luke out. Because boys are not as smart as girls. Boys are what I'd call dumb. But I'd be wrong. I'm just aggravating Luke a little bit. We've got a relationship like that. I'm smart, and he's, anyway. He's smarter. But no, I looked at him and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. God does a better job at it. I'm thankful. God does a much better job at it. And I let loose of control. Guys, if you've ever been to a high school reunion, you know what I'm talking about. You should be thankful he answered no. Amen? Woo! And I think that's the only reason I was thanking him yesterday when I was looking at Angie. An old classmate came up to the diner Friday, Cecil Harris. He said, Jim, we're at our 30-year reunion. Next year's coming up on our 40. 40 years. I thought, oh, my goodness. I'm so thankful. I'm really thankful he didn't answer yes. Because that hunk of burning love is a big old tub of lard right now. And he's the pastor of North Point Church. I'm thankful he said no. Number three. God says no when he has a greater purpose. God says no when he has a greater purpose. I'm about to tell you something that's worth writing down and remembering. God will never let your prayers interfere with your purpose. He will never let your prayers interfere with your purpose. You see, you and me, we were created by God for his purpose. And if you're praying for something that doesn't go along with his purpose for you, well, you're just simply not going to get it. You're just simply not going to get it. Psalm 57:2 says, I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. You see, God doesn't have to explain what he does. He doesn't owe me and you an explanation. He's God. And I want to tell you something. He does have a purpose for your life. And not everything that happens is good. You make bad choices. Other people around you make bad choices. But God can even use that, and he could fit it into the purpose he has for your life. He can be, make it good. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. You see, it's about faith. It's about faith. And anytime you're discouraged, I want you to remind yourself, I'm begging you as a pastor, to remind yourself that God has a great, great purpose for your life. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. These present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Some of you guys need to memorize that one right there, just that part of it. These present troubles are quite small, and they won't last very long. Listen to this. Yet they will produce in us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. They're quite small. They're not going to last long. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to that, to what we have not yet seen. Don't look at the troubles you're looking at right now. Look to what you haven't seen yet. For the troubles will soon be what? They're going to be over. But the joys to come will what? Last forever. Don't look at the troubles that you're in right now. Guys, if you're going to be, let me go ahead and read these next two verses. On the back side of your page, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, there are some things the Lord our God has kept secret, but there are some things that he has let us know. Next one is, just as you'll never understand the mystery of life that forms in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work and all that God does. Guys, I want to share something while we're closing here. If you're going to be happy in life, you're going to have to learn three facts of life. Let me give you three facts if you want to be happy. If you're going to be happy, is this. Number one, there's just some things in life that you're not going to understand until you get to heaven. Don't overthink it. There's just some things that you're not going to understand in this life on this side of heaven. You just don't need an explanation to be happy. Some of you need to hear that. You don't need an explanation to be happy. You just need the presence of God. Amen? That's all I'm going to say about that. Number two is this. There's some things that are going to happen in your life that are never going to change. There's something going to happen in your life that's never going to change. Some problems that you have are never going to change until you get to heaven. You and I got to learn to trust him. There's just some things that's never going to change. Learn to trust him. The third thing is this. Sometimes you're going to suffer for the benefit of other people. Sometimes you're going to suffer for the benefit of other people. Your greatest ministry, I've told you before, your greatest ministry will come from your greatest pain. Some of you may have read that article that they interviewed me on in the Carsville paper. And I'm glad you did. And I was sort of embarrassed about the whole thing, but it turned out all right. My greatest ministry, I don't consider, not to knock this off, my greatest ministry I don't consider to be being a preacher. If you hadn't read it, I'm going to tell you what my greatest ministry is. I work for Barton Funeral Home. My job there is to go retrieve dead bodies. But it's not the bodies that are my ministry. It's the people that I get to meet when I get there. You see, in 1995, my daughter died. And they came to get my daughter. Dud did. He drove in the ice and snow to get my daughter. And I loved and trusted Dud Barton. And I could not have handed my daughter over to anyone that I didn't trust and that I did not love. And I said right then that I would work for Dud Barton, that I would begin to work on my character, and that I would be a person that people trusted in this community so that I could minister to them. My presence, not my words, but my presence would minister to them. when I came to pick up their loved one when they were going through their greatest pain. And when I walk into that room, and people tell me a lot. It's not about, I'm telling you, I'm not bragging. But when I'll never forget one man I walked in. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. His mother had died. He was in his 60s. He looked at me and he said, "Jim, I'm so glad they sent you." He was at peace. He was at peace because I came. I have people come to Dud now and they say, "Please send Jim. Please send Jim when time comes for my spouse to pass away." My greatest ministry is picking up the remains of dead people. Angie says, "I get plumb giddy when I get a death call. I rush out of there so I can get to the family before they leave. And I get plumb discouraged when they're gone." Your greatest ministry is going to come from your greatest pain. Guys, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. I'm not wasting mine. Don't waste your pain. Because guess what? God allowed his own son to suffer and die for the benefit of me and you. He allowed him. Let's pray. My Lord, thank you, Lord, for saying no. Lord, we laugh about it, and I know I make jokes out of it. But I'm certainly so glad you had your hand on my life, even when I didn't want it. I thank you for protecting and guarding me, even when I didn't realize it. Lord, my folks here, they've been told no. Some of them's dealing with that right now. Some of them are walking around in the fire. They're kind of delayed. They don't have an answer. They're just hurting. I pray that they look up to you. And they realize it. That they'll be better because of it. This, whatever they're in, it's just small and it'll be over. You're on the way, that you've dispatched angels, that you have a greater purpose, and you can see what they can't. Well, we love you. We need your presence today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.